Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn some new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy. How are you, my love?
Great. And I was so glad to hear that you actually got to do your snowboarding. And
oh,
I love the way
God.
You described why it was good for you. Can you tell our listeners what you do when you're
yeah.
and how your mind
yeah.
is on the now when you do this?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, like some people will meditate. For me and my wife, you know, we prefer to do activities. And we, you know, in the wintertime, as everybody must know, if you watch the show, we snowboard. And in the summertime or in the springtime and sometimes into the fall, depending on weather, we'll ride our motorcycles. And I was just telling Cindy that I needed to be on a mountain so, so bad because it's not just an activity for us. It's not just something to do. You know, it's more or less just, it's a decompression. It's the one time of the entire season where we are not concentrated on any of the mundane things that occupy our minds. So, like, when you are on a snowboard, if anybody's ever been skiing or snowboarding, especially, you know, if you're on more challenging mountains, you know, you're not thinking about anything except getting from the top to the bottom. You know, when you're out and on a motorcycle, You're thinking about nothing else other than riding your ride and not getting hit by a car and making safe decisions because obviously, you know, being on a motorcycle, you know, can be dangerous, especially here on Long Island. So, you know, those are times that I take to where I'm literally, my mind is occupied with nothing other than the activity that I am doing. There's nothing in the back of my head. There's nothing allowed to come to the front of my brain that I'm not supposed to be thinking about. It's literally just being engulfed in the moment. And that's what I love about snowboarding, and that is what I love about riding my motorcycle, is the fact that those are the only times that I am fully, fully in the moment, where I'm not thinking about anything else. Well, I can think of maybe one or two other things. But still, for the most part, I'm in that moment, you know? And it's been a late season this year. We haven't gotten much snow. There's not a lot of base out there. So for the first time last week, my wife and I got to go. And at the end of the day, not only did we sleep better than we have in months, but it was just, we looked at each other and like simultaneously we were like, we needed this. And it was fantastic. We got to go with some great friends who we haven't really seen a lot this season because it's been such a late start. And, you know, we had a bunch of laughs with them and it was just a really, really great weekend. And we're looking forward to doing it again this weekend because we're leaving again tomorrow night to go back up to the mountain to get back on the trails, just since they're getting 5 inches of snow tomorrow. So we're going to be up right here.
Where are they getting 5 inches of snow? Wait. Where are they getting 5 inches?
Yeah, we are going out to Uniondale, Pennsylvania. The mountain that we go to is called Elk Mountain, and it's in Uniondale, Pennsylvania. It's not too far from Scranton, if anybody's familiar with the Scranton area. And that's where we go typically. Sometimes we'll go over to Montage Mountain. That's also in the same range. But this weekend and last weekend, we're going to be at Elk Mountain. And it's a small private mountain. It's not like a Hunter, if anybody's familiar with Hunter up in New York. It's not like a Hunter where everybody and their mother is there. It's not very, very crowded. It's a, you know, it's a smaller little hole in the wall that's private that not a lot of people really know about. And we beat the crowds and, you know, we get more runs in. And it really, really is a beautiful place to be.
Well, I'm so glad that you're having a little fun. That's what I wanted to hear. Nicole's having a little fun. Okay, we love that. Oh, great.
Yep.
So
Listen, everybody wants me to have fun because I am much more enjoyable when I have that decompression. I am a bitch if I don't get that. So
everybody
wants me to have that.
Right. And of course, it's like we can't be all work and no play. And also, it's getting out there in the fresh air, getting, you know, breathing it in, taking it in. And, you know, just getting outside in nature does a lot for you, you know.
Absolutely,
and
it does.
So I'm really glad that you're doing that. And I'm glad they're having some snow. If they're having it in Pennsylvania, are we supposed to get it here?
You know what? I don't know. This is how bad I am. Because of the fact that I'm not here on the weekend, I don't care what happens out here. I'm only looking at the weather where I'm going, not where I'm coming from. So I don't know if you guys are getting snow, but you know what? While you take the first call, if you want, I will gladly look that up for you.
Wow. Well, I'm just so excited for you. I can hear it in your voice that you sound really happy and happier than I've heard you sound in a little while. So I love that.
I've been snowboarding and I haven't had access to my motorcycle. So that's all it takes.
Wow. Wow. Well, we're all happy to hear that. Now, we do have a lot of listeners. And can you please inform our listeners if they want to talk to us what they have to do?
Absolutely. If you wish to speak to myself or Cindy this fine, fine evening, please do not hesitate. Press the number 1 on your keypad. This will give me a little alert that I should screen your call. So right now we are, we are already almost 10 minutes into the show. So we should probably take the first caller, Cindy. As usual, I do not screen the first caller. So hopefully this person is our brand of crazy, as I say, not our off brand of crazy, because we've been hijacked and it's been scarring. And that's okay. But
and meanwhile, that was like 9 years ago, but we have not recovered from when someone hijacked our show.
You know what? It happens once, and it's a constant fear ever since then. It's like that person that like goes on the roller coaster for the first time in their life. They have one bad experience, and now they equate that with every single roller coaster. That's kind of how I am with the callers. Is that if I don't know the number and if I don't screen it, I have this constant fear that we're going to be hijacked. And that somebody's going to do something that's unbecoming. But, so we're going to go into the first caller. This person has been waiting the longest because we do answer our calls in order that they are received. Just so that you know that I am speaking to you, I will identify everybody, both in the chat room and on the show, by the last 4 digits of their phone number. And right now we're going to cruise out to the 612 area code, and we are going to speak to whoever is waiting for us with the last 4 digits, 9322. So here we go, and let's see who's waiting. And please press the number 1 if you want us to take your call tonight. Hello, 9322. You are on the air.
Hello, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Where are you calling from?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. We love it. Are you Norwegian?
Yes. We're a little bit of everything. Scandinavian, we like to say.
Oh, okay, you're Scandinavian. Okay, I'm half Finnish, so I always love when I hear those people from the Scandinavian countries, It's always nice to hear. So you've called all the way from there, and you must have something on your mind, so why don't you share it with us, and we'll try to help you.
Well, my question is, I just would really like to know what my purpose here on Earth is, what my...
Oh, so you don't ask any little questions. Okay, she only goes right for the big ones here. Okay.
Yeah.
how old are you, by the way?
I'll be 56 in March.
56? And
yes.
It's funny because that's the age when people start wondering, like if they haven't wondered earlier, but at 56 they start reviewing their life and think, well, is there something more I'm still meant to do here? And you've learned a lot of your lessons already from coming back to Earth. You did have some hard lessons to learn. Are you aware of that? That life has not been so easy from you, from what I could see from these cards. Okay, you haven't had the easiest ride here. The main lesson you were supposed to learn, and until you learned that, it would be hard for you to go forward with your mission on Earth. But the main lesson you were supposed to learn is that you can't fix people. Do you realize that you're a fixer? Like you thought if you loved gave them enough chances, you could fix them?
Yes.
And how does it work for you so far?
Not too well.
Okay, good. So if once you've learned that, and believe me, you can't help but start having some rose-colored glasses come off. If we want to keep our rose-colored glasses on, we oftentimes do because, you know, who the hell wants to see the world the way it is? But you're at the age where you're starting to see that not everybody's fixable. And what makes people unfixables are that they have to be over the age of 25 when brain chemistry is pretty solid, and they have to be still narcissists, which means they manipulate a lot, they're highly judgmental, and they're not accountable for their behaviors. Do you know people like that?
Yes.
Okay, now, are you beginning to realize you're not fixing them? Because they are the unfixable. If they have addictions on top of that, the prognosis of them changing for the better is lower and lower. It's not impossible. With addictions, it's 2%. If they don't have addictions, it's 10% they can change for the better. But are you beginning to also realize you have to learn to punish people, cut them out? Have you done that yet? Cut certain people out of your life?
No.
Okay. No. Are there people that you want to cut out of your life?
There's one that I might want to cut out.
Okay. And so I'll think about that in the near future. But it looks to me like your mission is going to be revealed to you pretty clearly in the next few months. Have you been turning this over to God a little bit, asking him what you're supposed to be doing with your life?
Yes, I have.
And you, are you getting any answers on your own?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sure.
And what have you done prior to this in your life?
What do you mean?
You know, what have you done for a living, or what have you done to, you know?
Like a home health aide and nurse assistant and stuff like that.
Okay, so you realize you've done a lot of good on this planet because, you know, because what I saw in your cards, you have a lot of healing energies. And do you feel like you want to still expand your energies to help more people and in a different way? A different capacity?
I think I want to do it differently. I feel, I don't know, I don't know exactly how to put it, but I guess at this point in my life, I'm more crabby about things, and I just really don't want to put up with a lot.
Okay, anymore. That's because you're over the age of 50, and, you know, Jesus called the good people the great crap takers. Have you taken enough crap in your life?
Yeah.
What happens is we just don't want to take the crap anymore. Hooray!
Right.
That means you're even closer to part of what your mission is to learn on this planet and why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to learn self-love. And self-love is like enough is enough with certain people that you're finally coming to love yourself the way you love people you protect and take care of. You don't let anybody hurt the people you love, do you? Because you're a mother hen, I can see that.
Right.
So I want you to start loving yourself that way. And from now on, when people do things to you, filter it through the lens if they did it to my beloved child or friend. Would I tell them to turn the other cheek, or would I tell them to sue that son of a bitch? Then it's time to sue the son of a bitch, okay? Because we tend to be the crap takers and the great enablers, good people. We enable everybody. Everybody screws up and we clean it up. But by the time you get 50 and over, you get emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually bankrupt. You're just tired. You just don't want to do it anymore. And so your job isn't really to fix other people, but maybe to be a messenger and deliver certain messages to people and leave it where it goes. But right now, it's a little bit of you're finally trying to figure out that you matter. Do you feel that? You're suddenly saying, I matter. Like, what I want matters.
I haven't been feeling that I matter. Actually, the past few days, I've been kind of down on myself.
Okay, well, we're going to get you to be where you really do matter, okay, and what you think matters. I could see there's a little bit of depression and anxiety in your cards, and depression is often a feeling of hopelessness and anger turned inward. We're not usually, after a while, mad at the people who have screwed us over. We're mad at the fact that we allowed it and we didn't stop it. And so you're kind of punishing yourself. You're not very good at punishing other people, but you're pretty damn good at beating yourself up. But
yeah,
I'm going
true.
To tell you, a soul of your magnitude could not have seen the world any differently than you did for 50 years. That's because we've been brainwashed by many, many lifetimes of Judeo-Christian, Old Testament, New Testament, to be brainwashed to see the good in everybody, to bring out the best in them, to give them the benefit
yeah.
of the doubt and not trust our gut. And those rules were written by unfixables. They want us to see the good in them and give them the benefit of the doubt. They want us to be the crap takers and enablers. They want us to be the donkey mm-hmm. people doing all the work and helping them all the time and the martyrs. And by the time you hit 50, the way you've been living life, if something doesn't change, you're going to keep getting depressed. And my job is to just get your blinders off. You know, it's a little
yeah.
depressing. You're in the dark night of the soul. And that's the moment when you're starting to see the world without the rose-colored glasses, and you're starting to see 3 out of 10 people aren't all that great. 4 out of 10
yeah.
aren't that much better. They're Dr. Jekyll's, Mr. Hyde. They're sometimes good, sometimes not good. So 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great. Okay, they don't have many spirit guides or angels watching over them. They may be powerful in number, but they're not really powerful in terms of the universe helping them. But you're one of the 30% of genuinely good people. But you've been the 20% with blinders on where you thought everybody was good. And some of that thinking
yeah.
is just haunting you now. And so
yeah,
it's painful to see the world for what it is. And you're probably going, oh, that one's not good, this one too. Man, that one... It's not very pleasant the first year or two of it. But after that, you get just a little bit older and a little bit more wise, and you start realizing they know not what they do. It's not about me. It's about them. They don't even care about me. I mean, they don't even think about me, so why am I worrying about them?
Yeah.
And so this is a little – I could see a little bit of depression in your cards, but with you're having a
yeah,
spiritual – You're having a spiritual crisis, okay? Your
yeah.
spiritual crisis is you've done everything right and you're not happy, okay? And now you're wondering, what about me? And so pray to do its best for everyone, including yourself. You know, everybody has lessons they have to learn, and that's part of our mission. And, you know, your biggest lessons you're starting to learn already. I think you're just fighting it. You would like to see the world again with the rose-colored glasses, but it's a distortion of reality. And so, you know, just see it for what it is. There's some big changes in the upcoming year if you want them. Do you have a relationship? Because I'm not seeing anything showing up here.
Well, I do with my ex. It's kind of an on and off again.
Okay, I love the way you have a relationship with your ex.
Years.
Isn't that an oxymoron? You have a relationship
yes.
with your ex. Doesn't ex mean past? So
yes.
that's part of your depression here, because relationships work in 5-year cycles. So you've been on and off
yeah.
for 10 years. That's 2 5-year cycles. And how long have you known him altogether?
26 years.
Okay, so we're pretty much at the 25-year mark. You've been getting heavy-duty guidance from the other side. Enough is enough. Move
yeah.
on. And part of it is very hard for you to let go of this person, but I'm not sure he's the best one for you. Are you starting to see he's maybe not the best one for you?
Yeah.
Okay, and, of course, he's the devil you know. An older soul, we love the devil we know. We don't like to make change, okay? It scares us. And yet he's
yeah.
never going to let go of you. Who would let go of you? You're good to a fault. You're a crap taker, an enabler, and a donkey person, and a martyr. Who's going to let go of you? You know, you're always going to be there and solid. What do you get
yeah.
from him at this point? What is he providing for you?
Really not much.
That's what I could see. That's why I said, remember I said, I'm not seeing a relationship showing up here. That does, I'm seeing something, but it's not, a relationship is a two-way street, not a one-way street.
Right.
And he's never going to get rid of you, okay? Like.
Well, he's actually said that he's going to always have me or whatever, you know.
Of course, because your love has gotten pretty toxic, and you know, and toxic
yeah.
love has an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never abandon each other. So
mm-hmm.
you're kind of hooked on him like heroin. He's not good for you when you're going back for more. And
right.
part of the depression is, you when you left him 10 years ago, and that was probably around the 15-year mark, you know, you had your reasons for wanting to leave him, didn't you?
Yes. And then
you're kicking yourself in the head because you're still keeping him in your life. And it's almost like until you let go of him, it's going to be hard for you to move your life forward. He's sort of keeping you stuck. And, you know, what's showing up here is you could have a new career or something different. Are you trying to meet other people or get out there a little bit and see what is out there in the world for you?
No, I haven't really been trying to meet anybody, no.
Okay. And again, part of it is that you're depressed. So it's hard to get out of bed, let alone go meet people. But it's staying stuck with him is he disempowers you, and that's why you're having trouble figuring out, you know, what your mission is. You know, we don't all have these huge missions in life. We all have to learn our issues, and the universe would like you to learn where you belong in this world through love, peace, and joy, and would love to bring you a soulmate, someone who could open up your soul and help you move forward because you start to come to that place of self-love, which is important. Yeah. You said you don't have it, now you need that. And, you know, getting rid of him isn't going to be easy because you've just sort of fallen into like a bad habit with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, how often do you see him?
About once a week.
Okay. And he gives you the illusion of a relationship without really being one. And so you have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her at all?
A grandmother?
Yeah, or it could be your mom. It could be your mom. It's a mother figure, by the way.
They've both passed away, yeah.
Okay, because this one is your mom, and she's standing with her mother. Do you remember her mom as well?
Yeah.
Okay, because they're both saying when you were little you had courage. What happened to your courage? You used to be a lot braver than you are.
Right, I remember that.
Right, you remember being that courageous girl? Your grandma and your mom are going, who's this girl? Who's this person that inhabited this body and, Sharon's body? And who is she now? Can you ask your mom for help ever? Do you ever talk to the other side? Because she will help you.
No, I haven't really.
Okay, because she would like to help you to move forward. She's not a huge fan of your ex. Did she know him on Earth? Because she's not a huge fan of his.
No, she passed away before I met him.
Okay, and so you were young when your mom died.
Yeah, 26 when she passed away.
And when you married your husband, did you think he was a soulmate? Because I'm not so sure he ever was. Did you have a recognition factor like you've always known him and a heart, soul, mind, body like you really loved him entirely?
No, I did love him at first when he was courting me, I guess. But we were never married. Go ahead.
So you weren't married, but did you live together?
For a brief time, and we had a child together.
Okay. And can you see why your mother's not a huge fan of this man? You've been with him all these years, but you're not married. Your mother doesn't believe you would have stayed with him this long if she hadn't died. When she died, your fear of loving someone who could die on you kicked in pretty strong. And you kind of stayed with a man you never loved all that much. Then you had a kid. How much do you love that child?
Well, my son passed away when he was 3.
And how much did you love that child?
Oh, I loved him more than anything in the world.
Okay, and don't you see how your fear of loving someone who could die in you was kicked in by your mom's death and your son's death?
Yes.
And you're with a man that you don't love all that much, okay? You know, it's not that you feel bad if he died, but it's not going to be a loss like of your mother or of your son. And how much did you love your son? You said like crazy. Would you let anybody hurt him ever?
No.
Okay. And do you realize that you've had the low-grade depression since your son died?
Yes, I do.
And are you still angry with God about the death of him? He seemed like a really, really good little boy, by the way.
He was. He was a sweetheart. I don't know if I was angry at first when he first passed away, but I feel like I thought I had let that go, you know. So.
Right, and what you did was it just, you're not angry, but there's this depression going on there. And,
yes, there is.
Trying to commune with your son and get messages from him and from your mom, it looks like after your son died and after your mom died, you lost a lot of your courage. And,
yes,
you know, and, you know, both of, you know, and your mom's mom, who's really pretty strong-willed, that woman, I wouldn't want to get on the bad side of her. She's, yeah, she's got a lot of strong energy there. They will help and guide you, but part of it is, part of your mission is just going to be linked to moving on from the man that you've been hanging on for with so long. I mean, it's not going to go anywhere. It's depressing. It is what it is, okay? He is who he is. You know, do you see that he's manipulative?
Yes, he is.
Do you see that he's highly judgmental?
Yes, and he's kind of abusive sometimes.
Kind of abusive. Your mother's like, what, are you kidding me? And your grandmother just freaked out when you said, he says, you know, you're being like way too kind on this, okay?
Yes.
He's extremely abusive. And he's not always accountable for his behavior.
That's
right. And I want you to, you know, love yourself the way you loved your son. If your son was in this kind of a relationship, what would you tell him?
I would say to just stop it.
And
right
move
now.
On. So, you know, keep asking the other side. I mean, mostly it's just moving forward from this relationship and, you know, some of your life mission will be discovered as you open up your soul group and start to meet some new people who resonate more like you, who might, and you know, you could work on your psychic abilities a little bit too and start communing with your son. I got the rest in peace card. He's resting in peace. There was nothing you could have done to alter this situation. Do you know that about your son?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, he's going to give you a very clear sign in the next day or two. And, you know, I want you to call in again in like a few weeks and see if you're not getting any messages from the other side. Because, you know, you opened the vortex. Your grandma, like, is so strong-willed, I don't know how you wouldn't hear her, okay? Like, when she has something to say, she's going to say it. And, you know, with your son, he'll give you a sign. And you might find yourself feeling a little more courageous in the next few months. So, you know, call us in maybe about 3 weeks from now again.
Okay.
And let us know how you're feeling and doing. And that if you've gotten signs. And, you know, as far as your life mission, it's almost like you got to move on from this relationship before that can start to emerge. Because it's just keeping you stuck in one spot. Do you see you're stuck in one spot?
Yes, I do.
And, you know, and it's time.
Definitely.
And that's not healthy. And you're mad at yourself at this point about the situation.
Yes. Yes,
you know,
I am.
And I don't think, you know, if your son had lived, I don't think you would have stayed with this man, by the way. I don't think you would have liked the way he would have been to your son after a while.
Right.
And
I don't think so either.
And that, you know, your love for your son would have made you move on. We'll call in again in a few weeks. We'll see what else your spirit guides might have to say. But I want you to process some of the things that I've said about losing your courage after your son died and your mom died. Staying with this man too long, being mad at yourself about it, taking too much crap, from him, you know, and, you know, see if you can't get some messages that might help open up some of the vortex for you.
Okay.
And keep us posted, right. Okay? Good luck to you.
All right.
Bye.
All right, thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, Nicole, do you remember asking what's your mission ever in your life?
Yeah.
Where you're supposed to be going? And do you ask it still?
Every day.
Uh-huh. I think
every
we're supposed
day.
To ask. I think we're supposed to ask that question continually. Are we on our mission? Are we answering our mission?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, sometimes we can't answer our mission if we're staying stuck or if we're not healing issues. And that feeling that there's more to life than this, that haunts
anybody us. Knows, if anybody knows how it feels to have to let go of an ex or how to let go of toxicity, I understand that very all too well. You know, I mean, because I was in a very, very toxic relationship for a very long time. You know, I was a caretaker for my grandmother, who was also equally toxic, where literally upon her death, I had to, you know, kind of free myself from her karma and wish her the best and just wish that, you know, that her karma does not spill over onto my life. So I completely get what it feels like. And I completely understand the level of comfort that people find by sticking with the familiar. But at the same time, you have to remember that those trials and tribulations are there to help you grow as a person. And if you refuse to move on from the experience, you're literally stunting your own growth. And it took me a very, very long time to understand that. It took even my wife, when I first met her, she was unhealed from a previous relationship. And it took her a while, you know, to come to terms with letting that pain go and letting, you know, that level of dysfunction go. And I can only say that once you do let that dysfunction go and once you do move on from that toxicity, as scary as it may be in the moment, it is so worth it in the end.
Exactly. And also, you know, when she was asking about her mission, no one can tell you your mission except you.
Nope. Exactly.
You know,
and
that's
I think
why I couldn't answer her mission because there's no way that I know what someone's mission is. Okay.
No, not
I can,
at all.
I can help remove the blocks that are stopping you from getting guidance and discovering your mission. And that's my job, to remove the blocks that are maybe disempowering you, making you think you're not worthy of something better. Or, you know, your fears and get you to that state of courage. You know, that's my job. But finding your mission is something that's between you, your spirit guides, God, and the other side. And, you know, and so that's why I wanted her to call back in a few weeks, because it may take a few months of her calling in and calling back to break through some of the patterns of her thinking, to realize when she got stuck. She got stuck after her mom's death, and she got stuck after her son's death. And now we got to move this forward. And I'm hoping that, you know, her son is, like, really smart. He's a really wise being up there. And her grandma's so strong-willed, and her mom loves her very much, that the three of them are going to try to help guide her to find some answers and move her forward. So if anybody wants to know what their life mission is, and I have a funny feeling practically every caller listening is probably saying, what is my mission? We have more than one mission. I'll tell you some secrets to things. We have more than one mission. We might have a mission in the beginning of our life, one in the middle of our life. We have more than one mission. We might have 10 missions. The main mission is to heal your issues. Okay, it's like so it doesn't matter what else you accomplish in this lifetime. If you don't heal the issues and learn the lessons that you came down to learn, it's going to be a failed mission. So
pretty much
here on Earth. So let's start healing those issues, and you know, once people start doing that, things become more revealed as to where we're going to be going and what we're meant to do. And so anybody who's listening who had a similar question, think about what blocks might be in your way that's keeping you from your life mission. Now, we have, who is this one? Andrea? Okay, she's a first-timer. I love that.
Yes, she is a first-timer. And she actually is adopted, Cindy, and she has an adoption question. So, and I wanted to leave that very, very vague because I would like Andrea to tell her own story. She could probably tell it better than I could anyway. But, she is adopted, so her question is about herself and, you know, it's surrounding her family and you know, I'm going to let her her elaborate. So here we go out to Virginia, and we're going to...
Hello.
Andrea. Hello, Andrea. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, I listened to the beginning of your show. I'm probably just as crazy as you guys, too, so...
Perfect. You're our friend.
Okay. We like that kind of crazy.
I'm already crazy.
We have good crazy and bad crazy. We allow good crazy.
Yeah, my biological mother is a psychic too, so I get a lot of her stuff from her. So I think I'm a little crazy from that. So.
Oh, we love that. So you've met your biological mom. Is that the case?
I have.
And how did that go? That's interesting.
Well, I mean, we're not close, but I mean, we're cordial. You know, we're cordial. We stay in touch, and she's a little on the weird side, kind of like, you know, quirky like me. So I guess that's where I get that from.
Okay, and would it answer some of your questions in meeting her? Did it give you a sense of closure or some awareness?
No.
Of who you are?
No, because I've been searching for my biological father's side. See, I'm 57, probably for the last 40-something years. And she keeps giving me this name, Paul Rubenstein, Rubenstein. So I did the DNA ancestry and 23andMe, and through a birth angel, through a search angel and other relatives, and my own search, it came up with a family that I believe is my father's side. So I reached out to them. They say I look like them, and all of a sudden they come out and say, "Now, well, I've got cousins on 23andMe that don't match with you, and so I don't really think you're my relative." But they won't give me the name. So I really think this is the family, or am I barking up the wrong tree?
Okay. It's also, if it is the family, they don't seem to want you in it. Okay.
No. Well, so, the kids do, like my cousins, but my aunt and my father have nothing to do with me. So I think they kind of turned the kids against me too.
Right. And so your biological dad's still alive?
Yeah. Well, if this is the person, he would be alive. He'd be like 80.
Okay. So you think maybe he doesn't want this can of worms open. He's probably trying to figure out why you're coming back or what do you want. And
yeah, well, the story is now he's gay and then never been married, no kids. But just because you're gay doesn't mean you can't father a kid when you're, you know, 20, when you're 20, you know, 70 years, 50 years ago.
Well, first of all, did he ever get to talk to him at all?
No. Well, being Jewish and not married and back then, you know, 57 years ago, it was a sin. So she was banished and half their family still doesn't even know about me. So, which is a shame because it's, you know, we're a different age now. We're different, you know, it's times have changed.
Right. It's a long time ago, but also,
yes.
Because the only person who could provide the answer is him because he would be able to, you know, he knew your mother. He didn't know her. But I'm not sure he's going to tell the truth because what I could see from here,
man doesn't
know the truth that it bit him in the ass.
Right.
You know, and, you know, he looks like, you know, it's more like he's concerned. Do you want money? What do you want from him? You know, and
I want money. I just want to know what it looked like. I don't really give a crap about money. I have my own money. I don't need yours.
Right. And, you know, it looks to me like that probably is your biological dad. But he's never going to admit it. And,
well,
you know,
DNA doesn't lie.
Right. Of course it doesn't lie. And, you know, with the other cousins, maybe he's going to have some connection with them. But it's always going to be awkward if nobody's going to acknowledge you. And, I mean, this man abandoned you all those years ago. And, you know, he's 80 now. And it's like he doesn't even want to deal with this at this point. And he's not a very nice person, in all honesty, here. I'm not seeing someone that you necessarily would even want to have in your life. You know, you have a right to know your other family members, but I'm not so sure you want to know this man. You know, I don't think, you know, I just don't think it's going to work out the way you want it to. You know,
would you think it's the right person or my cousin?
It's, you know, pointing to the fact that this probably is this man, you know, and again, he's not going to admit it.
No, but my
gut
says
it's
him. And
again, it's because he thinks you're going to want his money or you're going to shake up his world or I don't know. Also, doesn't it make him look like a pretty big shithead that he's got a kid that he never knew, never did anything for? Don't you think it doesn't reflect on a narcissist here?
Yeah,
they don't want to make amends for past wrongdoing, by the way, narcissists. They just rather not acknowledge they ever did it wrong. So it looks more like he's not playing fair with you. He's not telling you the truth. You know, are the other cousins still willing to talk to you?
I'm not really sure, but one of them says I look just like their mother. But if you truly have a relative on 23andMe that doesn't match with me, well, give me their name. Well, they sign up with a fake name. Well, what, are you kidding me right now? I mean, and the thing is, he has adopted kids, so he knows the situation that I'm in.
Right.
It makes it worse.
Right. And I just don't think you're going to get the set, you know, the answers you want, but from him. It could frustrate you and aggravate you, but I don't think he's ever going to admit the truth, or, you know, narcissists lie. Even with facts in the hands, they lie. Okay, isn't that weird?
Right.
You know, they just they just lie, and so this man looks like he spends a lot of his time lying, and you know, I don't think it's going to be easy for you to enter into that world, and maybe even your cousins might shut you out at some point if he gets, you know, his two cents in there about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cousins that are willing to meet with you, just see if you can't, see if you feel, like, you know, connect with them, or you feel like there's...
Well, two live in Israel, so that's out of the question. One lives in D.C., like 45 minutes from me. That's the one that has adoptive kids. So...
Right. All right. So, you know, I just think with you,
maybe
you can try with that one, but I don't think your biological father's going to give you the answers that you want.
Yeah.
You know, I think he got the answers, by the way. You don't like them, but, you know, it is who he is, and you probably should count your lucky stars you weren't raised by him. You know, because he just looks like a supreme narcissist.
Yeah.
You know, but it does look like, you know, the cards I'm getting was like he's your biological dad. And again, you know, you've got the DNA stuff and, you know, he's still alive. You know, if you get a hair sample or something, you'd be able to really know. But I don't think you're ever going to get near enough to him to get that.
Well, I think he's bald. But if I could get the kids to do the same DNA test themselves, then we would know either you come up with a match or a zero. You know, it's black and white. There's no gray.
Well, did you offer to pay for their DNA test?
You know what? That's a good question. But I'm like, you know what? Just for my own satisfaction, I mean, I would pay for it. Absolutely.
Right. Because you might want to just ask them if, you know, if they would let you pay for it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Well, one is actually thinking about it because of his adopted kids. So maybe I'll just say, look, I will pay for this, you know, just for my own satisfaction, ours and yours. Or we'll just keep it between you and I. No one else needs to know, you know, because the mother is the one that's behind the force of, you know, all of a sudden they were willing to help me and all of a sudden they're backing off.
Right. Well, because it looks to me like there might be some money involved here that he can threaten to cut them off if they're involved with you.
He didn't have any kids. These are his nephews and nieces. He doesn't have his own kids.
Right, but it just looks like family members are telling them not to get involved. So, you know, it's weird. I've heard this a lot with people when they start with the Ancestry 21 and all of that, that sometimes people just end up, you know, not having the same response. At first people are okay about it, and then they sort of get turned off by it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, I'll give it a little bit of time to let it all kind of settle in and sink in. Maybe in a month or so, I'll reach out and say, look, you know, I'm still, you know, I have more relatives popping up on the DNA thing. And, you know, you're still in this mix and I'd be willing to pay for the test if you're willing to do it.
Right. That's what I would say. And then at that point, you're probably going to have to let it go because it'll borderline on stalking and bothering them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people decide they don't want somebody. It's just the way it is.
Well,
why
said to me, you know, check back in a little bit and, you know, maybe reevaluate. So I'll let it sink in for a little bit and then come back.
All right. And they want to maybe investigate who you are, that you're not some lunatic.
Before,
even if you are their cousin, I mean, I'd be pretty much Googling the name of somebody that wants, you know, wants to be in my life before I'm going to open that door, you know?
Yeah. Well, one thought that was a scam until she's like, oh, my God, you kind of look like my mother, you know, so... And I mean, that's like, you know, you can look at my Facebook page. I mean, whatever you need to know, I'll tell you. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, it's
just
like,
be very open that you're not a psychopath, you're not a scam artist, you know. And you can understand people's fears because there's so many scam artists nowadays.
Yes, yes.
You know, and so keep us posted. Let us know. Call in again and let us know if they let you in. You know?
Okay.
Good luck to
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I know that, Nicole, that Ancestry.com and stuff opened up some can of worms with my clients. Who everybody thought they knew who their fathers were, their mothers, and blah, 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 and I don't know. So what a mess. So we have someone, another Minnesota or Minneapolis here?
Yes, we do have another Minnesota person. And
I wonder why we're getting the Minnesotas. Are do they know each other?
I don't know.
Because we had one to
give horse in the mouth. We're getting some new listeners, and that's good. So I'm just rolling with it.
Okay, so what is the story here?
Okay, well, Christiana is a very, it seems like a very, very lovely woman. She's not a child. She's a grown-up, you know. And, you know, right now she's living with her mom, and she really feels like she needs her own space. So she kind of wants to know whether or not financially she's able to manage this kind of investment and this kind of move for herself. And she kind of wants to know what your feelings are about her branching away from the familiarity of her being with her mother and venturing off on her own. So I'm going to let Christiana tell the rest of her
story. I know you said she's not a child, but how old is she?
I don't. You know what? I'm gonna put Christiana on, and I'm gonna let her decide whether or not she wants to divulge her age. But I will say she is between 25 and let's say 40. She's in that range,
okay.
And if she wants to tell you how old she is, then she could tell you how old she is.
Okay.
But as a woman, I'm not gonna divulge another woman's age. But here we go to Christiana in Minnesota. Hello, Christiana. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hello. So you're a grown-up, and it's kind of expensive to go on your own. So I know a lot of people are living home a lot longer than they used to. And it's probably frustrating for you, as it is for parents, to still have grown kids. You know, like I'm always telling people, look at it from the grown-up's point. Do you think they still want us over there forever? It does look like you'd be able to afford it, but have you been saving a little money so you can have a little nest egg to start this venture? Have you put money aside?
I need to start. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because you can't.
You know,
a lot of people spend too much money, right? Do you realize you spend too much money sometimes?
Yeah.
And that, are you going to just put money instead of buying crap into, like, putting it aside? Because you can't just make a move without having money for, do you want to buy a house or do you want to buy a condo? Do you want to rent something with your ultimate goal?
No, I was thinking more like a rented space. Like, I keep envisioning, like, maybe a level basement in the house, or like a duplex level or something like that.
Right. And that looks doable, but do you have money for the deposit and the, you know, for the, and that kind of stuff, you know, because they usually want a deposit.
Not yet. That's why I was wondering about my business, if I'm going to be able to make enough money to save.
Now, I could see you're going to make enough money. You know, the money looks good, but the saving part is a little sketchy here. So what do you usually spend your money on?
I have a little bit of a problem with, like, beauty products and stuff.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And we know how, you know, with Amazon, the ability to just push a button and, like, everything shipped to us, you know, it can get out of hand. So
it really is a problem, Cindy. I'll vouch for her on that. It really is a problem.
Okay, that's what, and, yep, and especially, you know, anybody born after 1983 when there was no longer a television code of ethics, because part of the television code of ethics was concerned that people would become spendaholics if you branded things in shows. So they couldn't brand a box of cereal prior to 1983. So now, after 1983, everything is branded, and your whole generation has been brainwashed to spend too much money because of the branding and because you're the first generations that didn't count money cash. You were given debit cards and credit cards and didn't count cash, because when you count cash, you start realizing how much it is. When you're just swiping, and then at the end of the month, you get ticker shock, you know, ticket shock. So part of it is let's get your spending under control here. Figure out the beauty products that really work and that you really need. You know, you probably have enough beauty products. I don't know. I have enough in my house right now that probably if I died tomorrow, people could, like a whole house full of women could come live here and have enough makeup and beauty products for like 20 years. Can you maybe figure out you've got enough for a while and not spend your money on that, and how you're going to budget your money a little better? Because your generation doesn't think money's for paying bills, okay? Not for paying rents and mortgage and blah, blah, blah. It's for buying crap.
Oh, no, I pay for rent and I pay for food and all that stuff.
Good. And so we're going to just, you know, take it down. And now if you're paying rent and food with your mom, so it's not going to be, is it going to be that much more to go on your own than what you're paying now?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be tight financially.
Okay, but I see your business growing. So, just put it in your mind to tell the universe, I want to be independent. I want to live on my own. And start focusing on the business. Are you doing marketing of it? Because it looks like you could market a little better. Are you working on the marketing?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how, where or where to go or what to do.
And what kind of a business is it that you have?
I do psychic readings and life coaching.
Okay, good, because everybody needs life coaching and psychic readings, and trying to get yourself maybe marketing. Do you have a Facebook page and things like that?
Yeah, I do. I advertise on Facebook, Twitter, and then Blog Talk.
Okay, so, it looks to me like 2020 should be a pretty good year for you growing that business. And, and that's a business, like, once you start getting clientele, clients become very loyal once you get them. So mm-hmm. You're going to be working on getting, building your business. It might take about a year to save some money. Are you thinking maybe could you be patient for a year? Because it might be a little too tight for you to do it before then.
Yeah, I suppose I'm going to have to wait.
All right, because
really don't know how else I would.
Yeah, because they don't want you to get yourself in a position where you really feel like now I don't have the money to go, to be able to afford this. And it's just give it a little time, but just putting in your mind that you're ready to move on, don't you think that's important? Like, is it the first time you've really been really, really serious about this?
No, I've lived on my own before in the past. I just, it's been a while, though, this time around.
Right.
I should get going. I have to get to class.
Okay, all right. So keep us informed what's happening, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, so... it's so hard to be a young person trying to live on your own, isn't it? Well, Nicole, how hard it was, even for you and Lisa, right? It cost a fortune.
Yeah, absolutely. And in today's day and age, it's not easy for kids. Like my brother right now, he's 25 years old, and Christiana is older, is older than my brother. But, for my brother and for, his whole generation of friends that are just starting out, it's very, very difficult in certain areas to venture out on your own to get the capital. And, like you said, it is very much an issue, with the overspending, and it's funny because one of the girls that I work with says all the time, oh, my God, you're always getting packages. You shop too much. And I don't think I shop a lot. But I have an influx of packages that get delivered to my office, and some of the stuff is that, like vitamins and things like that and things that I
need.
Right.
Nothing exciting. It's nothing exciting.
Exactly. But the ease of it, like last week I was having an extraordinarily busy week, and, from my desk on my lunch hour, I was able to order my wife new work jeans. Because she said that she needed new work jeans. So I was able to order my wife new work jeans. I was able to have groceries delivered to the house. I was able to reorder all of my vitamins, reorder my protein powder, buy a new lunch bag, you know, get a new shaker, and I didn't even have to leave my desk in that hour. And like about $350 later, you know, I accomplished everything that I needed to buy for the next couple of weeks, in addition to shopping for my wife's birthday, which is next Thursday. So, you know, so I mean, and it's so easy to do things like that. And if you have, you know, that one thing, you know, like I'm guilty in the wintertime of shopping for motorcycle gear, and in the summertime shopping for a snowboard gear, because even though it's easy for me to shop, I look for the best deals, and the best deals that I can find for motorcycles are when they're out of season, and the best deals that I can find for snowboards are when they are out of season, hence why that season is swapped when I do my shopping. And, you know, I mean, I've gotten a lot of stuff online. It is very, very easy. But when you're living at home and you're not absorbing 100% of your living costs, it can be very easy to overspend. And it can be very, very easy to go well beyond your budget because you don't have certain things in mind. You are paying, let's say, a reduced rent. If you're living at home with your parents, maybe you're giving them something to help, you know, with the mortgage or something. Maybe you're giving, you know, $100 a month, or maybe even $800 a month, but you're not paying a full $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 for full rent. You know, so in all of those little actions, you're not taking financial responsibility. You're allowing, you know, you're allowing your living costs to shift onto another party. You know, so although when I shop and I do that and it's easy for me to do it, I stay within my budget, you know, and sometimes I rob Peter to pay Paul a little bit if I really, really want something, and then I make up for it later on in the month. But I always make sure that my bills are paid. When you're living at home, it's easier for you not to abide by those rules, which makes it harder for you to venture out on your own.
Right, exactly. And so it's a little bit of, you know, budgeting money. People really have to try to budget a little bit of money, you know, cannot spend every penny. I mean, again, it is tempting to buy. And they even say like something like 30% of people have clothes in their closet that they bought but never wore.
Oh, that's 30. My wife.
Mm-hmm. You know, they
that's
have them, but they don't wear them.
Babe, I need these. Okay, honey, we'll get them because you need them. And then all of a sudden I see them 3 years later with the tag still on. Oh, I get it.
Right.
I know that. That's my wife. She wants to have doubles of things in case something breaks.
Right. Exactly. And so sometimes we need to like just, you know, maybe, you know, take a 6 month break where you're really not buying anything but a necessity, you know, and figure out what a necessity is really, you know.
Yeah,
a necessity isn't this Starbucks coffee for $8, okay?
No, it is not.
Figuring out that. And I think there was a little message in tonight's show for you, Nicole. Okay.
There was?
Yeah, and the message is let's get our spending a little bit, you know, under control, just a little bit. It's not that you're so bad, but, you know, work on that a little bit.
So what you're saying is that the last 3 days that I've been on eBay looking for things, I should probably not buy anything.
Yes. Yes, you can browse on eBay. You just can't push the button, you know?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, okay, that's one of my favorite things. If anybody wants to, like again, this is like another like little decompression thing that I do, okay? Like if I'm doing something or whatever, if I just like need to just go out and just do my thing or manifest something, I will go on whatever website. I will put thousands of dollars in my cart and never buy them. Just to say that I put them in my cart, and I will just shop, okay? And you know what? Maybe I'll buy one thing out of, like, the $1,000 that I had in there, and I'll always pick, like, the cheapest thing. But I do that all the time. I just add stuff to my wish list, and I add stuff to my shopping cart, and then I save them for later, and then maybe later never comes. But at least I know I did it, and at least I know that if I could ever afford it, I can go back and buy it. But I do that all the time, and I have, like, watch lists, and I'm like, for me, it's like a game. You know, like I'll go on eBay and I'll look for stuff, and guess what? I'll just like sit there and I'll wait for that price to go like all the way down till it's pennies before I get it. But it is like a game for me. It's a sickness. I know it is. It's terrible.
Right. And so we're just like having this little conversation here, okay? just to, like, you know, in the future you're going to want to own a home. So why not, every time you don't buy something you thought you were going to buy, why don't you put that in a special bank account that, you know, at the end of the year you bring to bank, so that's your, like, we're going to buy a house account. You know,
okay,
so
if I have to.
Okay, yes, you have to. Yes, you have to. Yes, you have to.
Robbing me of my joy, but that's fine.
Yep, and I just thought this was really interesting because we just want to, you know, most of the time it's like people have more money than they think. They just are spending it in a way that people never spent. Okay, so it's getting a grip on things. You know what I mean? If you could afford to,
that's that too. Because I told my wife, like, no joke, her birthday is on Thursday, the 13th of February, and Valentine's Day is Friday, and then my mom's birthday is Saturday. So I always, every year, I've got three huge days in the month of February, you know, because I have to obviously do something for my wife for her birthday, something for my wife for Valentine's Day, and then I have my mom's birthday following directly after that, you know. So, and I told my wife, listen, you know, we're trying to mind our dollars, so don't go crazy for Valentine's Day. You know, I set a very, very modest limit as to what we're allowed to spend because she's like me. She'll just spoil the crap out of me and spend money that we shouldn't be spending on things that I don't even know I want. So, you know, we always set a limit before we enter into these holidays. We did it for Christmas, and it's very, very fun that way because we try to maximize, you know, whatever budget we do give each other. But, yeah, I set a very, very low limit, and I can honestly tell you that I am probably about $200 over that limit right now because I impulse bought things, and she's going to be happy, but –
Okay, so we're just going to cut back a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
It was very necessary. She's going to be very happy.
Okay, good. But then after that, we're on a money diet, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I know I'm killing you. Okay.
I'm going to have to
put something on. But your spirit guides just told me, tell Nicole this, okay? So I'm just delivering. I'm just the messenger, okay?
I'm closing eBay as we speak.
Okay, good girl. Well, good night, everybody. We'll speak next week. And watch your P's and Q's and your pennies, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, Cindy.